Blog Talk Radio.
Even when it's cold, represent the dolphins. Even when it's cold, I know when the season starts, we'll be back to play our part. I know when the season starts, we'll be back to play our part. Ever since I've been a fan, I've been going through some heartache. Watching close games that make my heart break. All we had to tell that's gonna be hard to shake. Ever since I've been a fan,
That's right, son. We talking about the Miami Dolphins. It's the off season. It's the off season now. Well, I'm still repping the Dolphins. We'll be all the way through August and then until February again. We got some playoffs in our eyes. Playoff games are dangling in our eyes, Flevon. What do you think about that? Mr. Flevon, I can't hear you, bro. Are you there?
No?
Yeah, now there you go. There you go.
Okay.
Hey, man. It's the off season. Y'all know if you heard my man Solo D, Mr. Copeland from South Florida, talking about repping them Dolphins, man. We do that for life, man. I know
well,
you want to see how
up here in the 206. Up here in the 206, it's never off season, okay? You know, when you use certain things, you just expect you know, you expect good things to happen, but the Dolphins had a good year. It seems like they found themselves a running back, maybe a number one receiver in Jarvis Landry. So, you know, things are looking up for you guys.
Well, yeah, it's the season doesn't start down and stop down there for us either, man. So we got some, like I said, we got playoff sugar plums dancing in our eyes, and that's what we're focused on. But what a game on Sunday! What a game that was on Sunday! I hope you had a chance to enjoy that with your family and friends up there. And my first question to you, and the easy question, I guess, is: did the Patriots win that game, or did the Falcons choke that game away?
The Falcons absolutely choked that game away. I would like to give credit to the Patriots, as we discussed last week. You know, I just thought that they would find a way to win at the end and was not willing to go out on a limb with the Falcons, even though they had a very explosive, high-powered offense. Anytime you're up 28-3 going into the fourth quarter, I don't care who you're playing, you should win that game. There's just absolutely no excuse for the way things transpired down the stretch. And letting Tom Brady, without his favorite receiver, Rob Gronkowski, a bunch of guys, you know, I can't say you never heard of because you heard of Julian Edelman and you heard of Amendola, but really the dink and dunk was just played to perfection on the Patriots side. However, the Falcons letting this one go is definitely a choke. I would like to say that the Patriots came back and won it because of what they did in the fourth quarter and overtime. However, I just can't, in clear conscience, say that it wasn't more of a Falcons choke than it was a Patriots victory.
I think most football fans would agree with you, and I know they they had that champagne, they had the drinks ready to flow. By halftime of that game, man. I know a lot of people were starting to indulge and just it went silent. I know the streets of Atlanta are quiet today because of, man, what a heartbreak that was. In the fashion they let it go, and you're right, it was no big plays. It was a bunch of deacon dunking. It was like death by a thousand paper cuts is what it was. That had to be miserable. I was sitting here watching it, rooting for the Falcons. I think I even came to our score pad and updated the score pad before the game was over to see how far I was ahead of you. And they let the Patriots come back home. And I know they're sick to their stomach over there in Atlanta, because I'm sick out here in LA just watching it. So as we know, New England is their number five championship between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Who would you say mean more to that organization, the quarterback or the coach?
If you had to really assess who meant more, it would have to be the coach. The reason that I say that is because they've had success in the past without Tom Brady. They've had an 11-5 season with some guy named Matt Castle. They've had success this year with the third-string quarterback won a game for them. They won their fifth Super Bowl without their number one offensive weapon in Rob Gronkowski. So I would have to say that the coach has been more important. And in addition, this is the 10th Super Bowl that he's been to. They've only played 51, so he's been to 20% of the Super Bowls. And since 86, he's been to one out of every three. So I would have to say it's the coach, although the flip side of that, I don't think that there's any question as to who the greatest quarterback of all time is. It's TB12, and coming back from the deficit that he came back from only proves that.
I refuse to join in that conversation, who's the greatest quarterback. I refuse. I just refuse because I'm not going to answer it. As for who means more to the organization, you're exactly right. Would you say since 86, he's been involved in every third Super Bowl? I mean, that's
since 86, in the last 30 years, Bill Belichick has been to 10 Super Bowls.
That's
astounding. They've only played 51. But since 86, he's been to 10, as a coordinator or as a head coach.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. You know, I actually was a fan of Bill Belichick and what he did, not only with the New York Giants, and obviously that's where he started, but when he was in Cleveland and the owner in the middle of the season says, we're moving, I think it was October, they said, we're moving to Baltimore at the end of the season. I don't know how that's a Trump type conversation that Art Modell was having with the city of Cleveland. We're leaving. What do you expect the people to do who's coming to four more games that season? What did you expect? It was an uproar. It was the complete chaos. And Bill Belichick, I thought he did a good job. I didn't think the Cleveland Browns were bad at that time, but then playing six games at home after your owner announces that you're moving, and then he has to kind of right the ship through that. I thought he did a fairly good job even before he became the head coach of the Patriots. So I was kind of a fan of him. I hated that the Patriots had to sign him, and I hate what I've seen over the last 17 years from these guys, but Bill Belichick is by far, I think, the best coach in football and has been for some time now. On the flip side of that loss, I mean, Atlanta has to eat the choke that they, they have to eat their own chum after they choked up this game. The immediate changes that are being made, are these justified or knee-jerk? What do you think about that?
You can't say that they're knee-jerk reactions because they think that they're so close to getting it done, and you feel in your heart that if they had to do over again, that there were some things that they would do differently. Us up here in the 206, the 12s up here in the 206, will go to our graves thinking, well, they should have ran the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the one-yard line. Falcons fans will say to themselves, wow, we had the ball in field goal range up by, you know, 8 points,
eight.
A field goal puts the game out of range. I mean, it ends the Super Bowl. You know, conventional wisdom says you run the ball, you bleed the clock so that the opportunities, you have to do something somewhat heroic and drastic to even come back from something like that. And
another
I understand
thing,
that.
Thing I didn't see. Go ahead.
No, I said I understand that Tevin Campbell went out with an injury. Excuse me, Tevin Campbell. Tevin Coleman went out with an injury, and that was, you know, kind of shook their, you know, their rotation up a little bit. But Devontae Freeman was getting off, man. It wasn't a question of whether they had an effective running game or not. They had an effective running game, and at that point, you just bleed the clock. I mean, for my money,
yeah.
The Carolina Panthers last year was by far the best team I've ever seen bleeding the clock. And Atlanta definitely needed some of that philosophy and wisdom. I know they're a throw first type of offense, but when you're in that situation, you have to take time off the clock and you have to put the pressure on the other team. And a field goal certainly would have done that.
I certainly agree. I think a lot of what happened throughout the game, even before they were up 25, I think Matt Ryan, the moment might have been a little big for Matt Ryan. I think there was he played an efficient football game overall, looking at the stats. Okay, but I think he left some plays on the field because he didn't. You know, you got to take chances. It's okay to take what the defense gives you, but then you got to force in your hand a little bit. And I don't think you have Julio Jones as a wideout. I'm not sure how many targets that he got on Sunday. And did he get enough targets? If you're going to throw the ball in that situation, I would like to see a quick slant or a quick out route to Julio Jones, your guy. He's going to be bigger than any defender or any safety coming down to close on him. Get on the ball in the middle of the field, and if that's what you're going to do. A seven-step drop with 3 minutes to go, I don't know why you're doing that. I don't know why you're doing that. Get quick routes. You see that route. You see that works. The Patriots have been doing this for 10 years now. I don't know why everybody else is not doing the five-yard out with your slot back and having the other – your outside receiver to run a crossing route, and that's the natural pick play. Your guy's open for 6 or 7 yards. If he breaks the tackle, he has 15 to 20 yards. That's what Julian Edelman is doing on every other play. I don't know why the concept isn't catching on.
But, see, that's the thing. They were doing that early. They were running their offense, which had been the unstoppable offense, the most unstoppable offense, really, since the greatest show on turf. But how they were doing that primarily before the Super Bowl was getting all those other receivers involved. The Patriots had a game plan to take Julio Jones out of the game. I mean, you know, this is a guy that caught 300 yards in a game one time this season. So you already know what Julio can do. It's the Gabriels. It's the Sanus. It's the running backs out of the backfield. It's the tight end. That's what keeps the Patriots on their heels. So once they weren't able to do that anymore and they were leaving their defense on the field to just be out there for 80-yard drives and two-point conversions, then that's when it all fell apart. You could tell after the Patriots kicked that field goal, when everyone else thought they were going to go for it, they kicked it and said, no, we're just going to play for two touchdowns and two-point conversions. Once they got the first one, the Atlanta Falcons had no answer. And once they got the ball first in overtime, they were done.
Yeah, because they were playing prevent defense, which, you know, as we say, everybody knows what prevent does is prevent you from winning. And so they were playing that way too early in the game instead of playing straight up. And obviously they got tired. It looked like to me late in that third quarter that the defense just didn't have any more as the Patriots are coming on. The defense had nothing to no resolve to go to. And you know, it was an ugly game in that respect. Very unfortunate for the Atlanta Falcons to lose that game in the fashion they did. Number one, another game, another championship for the hated Patriots. What more can I say? So, in a season recap, thank you for participating in the all season with the picks, with the show. I'm sure you have these same numbers. In recapping the our numbers for the year, 62%, and this is just straight up picks, 62% to 58%. I think that's the only thing I won. You had 63% of your picks against the spread were correct versus my 51%. And this is, again, the total. You actually, out of 11 playoff games, you had 9 of them correct. I had 6 of them correct for 54%. You had 81%. Picked playoff games against the spread, you were 88%. You only missed one game, actually. I don't recall that game. Do you recall what game that was? Against the spread?
If I had to guess, I would say it was probably the Chiefs game. I think Pittsburgh was favored by a few more.
Okay.
And I gave him credit for it.
The picks, confidence picks for the playoffs. Yeah, this is confidence pick for the playoffs. You were 36 out of 42 for 85%. I was 26 out of 42 for 61%. Confident picks for the season. This is surprising how close this was. Out of 282 possible points, I had 209 for 74%. You had 215 for 76%. So even if I had a one on Sundays, the Falcons would have won. I would have just tied you. Or no, I would have beat you in the confidence pick if the Atlanta would have won. So good job out of you.
Oh, thank you, sir. You know, young Sam Rothstein is doing what young Sam Rothstein does.
Well, he rebounded, I think, out of 3 years. This is your first year having some favorable victories. We had to create some things for you to categories for you to win. We had to create some.
Wow.
So good
wow.
work on you. So the pick straight up, you know, again, the picks against the spread, you won that.
Creating categories
just
for me to be successful. Wow. I appreciate that, Cam. Wow. it really sounds more like you created a game and then lost your own game that you created. That's kind of what it sounds like to me. In addition, you know, young Sam did win the picks against the spread. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Like I said, I just want to keep you. I want to keep you into the game. You know, I want to keep you into it. I don't want to. It's no fun if you lose all. So good year on you.
I appreciate you keeping me engaged. Thanks for doing that.
So what are you looking? What are you excited to see happen this off season? I'm excited to see Mr. Terrell Davis be inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
There's some people out
let's jump into that. We debated this vigorously for 2 weeks. We threw all kinds of stats out there, and at the end of the day, I will have to concede. You are right. The voters certainly felt the same sentiment that you felt, that his playoff performances was enough to carry him over the top. We have been over this. A 7-year career, in my estimation, was not enough to get you into the Hall. The Hall did not agree with my philosophy, and he gets a gold jacket. So I'm okay with that. The part I'm not okay with is Terrell Owens missing the cut, not even being in the top 10, and he has the third most touchdowns in the history of football. A little strange.
I don't feel that's as blasphemous as people are making it out to be. He'll get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he just made it. the people who vote on the Hall of Fame, he made it difficult for them to do their job. So he shouldn't expect.
How is it difficult for you to do your job when you're talking about a wide receiver, mind you, with the third most touchdowns in the history of football?
Well, I don't disagree with what you're saying, first of all. So let's clarify that. But I think that the mindset is that the sports writers, and they shouldn't be, I don't think they should have this thought either. I agree with him in that position. You should just, if you're just judging the player, the talent, what he's done with his career, obviously he's a Hall of Famer. But they're just throwing in some of the off the field junk, which I think is totally irrelevant. I agree with you, and I do from that standpoint think it's not right that he's not in. However, I understand what the issue is. I understand what the issue is. And that's the people that are voting for him, they didn't like him. Plain and simple. And it shouldn't be it shouldn't be a like contest, a popularity contest. That's not what it should be. But that's kind of what these guys who are voting on it is. And what's going to even be more interesting is here's another guy. I think he's overrated. A good player. I think he's overrated. But everybody loves him. So when Ray Lewis gets in his 5 years are up, are they going to, you know, clear the roll out the red carpet for Ray Lewis? Because these same people who bitching about what's going on with Terrell Owens were the same people bitching about should Ray Lewis even be in the league when he got drafted, or, you know, the year or so after he got drafted when he wouldn't tell police what happened. That's going to be interesting because everybody seems to like him. You know what I mean? He kind of changed that narrative. However, they can easily go back to that narrative. And that's the narrative is going to be there. And then your other guy, Randy Moss. Is Randy Moss going to get in ahead of Terrell? I mean, ahead of Terrell Owens?
The way it looks, I mean, numbers wise, if this is, you know, kind of the mantra for what it is that they're looking for, the answer would be probably not. At the same time, I don't think that Randy Moss was the same malcontent that Terrell Owens was. And Randy Moss is the number one receiver on the first and second most high-scoring offenses in the history of football. That's not a coincidence. We all know that the freak Rand University is something special, but we also have that same sentiment for Terrell Owens as far as what we've seen on the field. So the voters did the same thing to my guy, the playmaker, Big Mike Irvin, made him wait 2 years. Eventually he got in because he's a Hall of Famer, but very similar to how they do in baseball, they have this thing where they want to punish you for your off-the-field indiscretions and not make you a first-ballot, first-time Hall of Famer. Now, your numbers are so ridiculous that they have to let you in eventually, but they just don't want that on their record that they let you in the first time. And that's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. I've seen it so many times in baseball. Not quite as many times in football because your off-the-field indiscretions don't weigh in quite so heavily, usually. I mean, Lawrence Taylor is a first-ballot Hall of Famer, and that dude off the field, I mean, let's just be honest. He's been a train wreck.
First of all, it was a little different day and time. Good thing Lawrence Taylor, there was no social media with LT out there.
That's very true too, because if there was, wow, I mean, that's the greatest linebacker who's ever played a game. Him and Dick Butkus. That's him, Dick Butkus, and Ray Lewis is where the argument goes, and it always leans towards that. Always.
Hey,
you cannot put his name, you cannot miss Lawrence Taylor with and Dick Butkus. That's about as far as you go. That's about as far as you go with that, okay? You can't have you mixing this guy up with somebody, an overrated somebody else, okay? You can't do that.
Oh, man, hey, he's a hurricane.
You cannot.
He's a hurricane. He's a hurricane and a two-time Super Bowl champion. Watch your words.
You cannot mix Lawrence Taylor up with the overrated guy, okay? That's all I'm saying. He's in a special class. That's a very special topic.
It is. But like I'm saying, they were able to overlook that for whatever reason. You can always see when an athlete is going down a slope where they can't recover, and it's going to take some time for people just to say, okay, well, even with that, we'll let him in. For Michael Irvin, it was the walking into a courtroom with a mink coat and sunglasses on to get sentenced. For Carol Owens, it was doing sit-ups in your driveway. That people will never forget that.
I mean, but that was after being kicked home, sent home off from practice. You know that,
right? Yeah, and then that's how you rub it in the NFL's face. I mean, they don't need you. they will find another one.
Terrell will get in the next year or two. In the next year, they just weren't going to give him, you know, they just weren't going to make it look good for him. But my question is, do you put Randy Moss and Terrell Owens in at the same time? They can't go. They can't possibly get going to the end at the same time.
That would depend on how they feel about R. Moss. I mean, it's up to you. That's what I'm saying. It's not the numbers. It's an arbitrary decision on how you feel about a person. And that's not what the Hall of Fame is supposed to be about.
The Hall of Fame is supposed to be like, were you a
baller? Were you that dude? Do you deserve to wear one of these jackets as one of the baddest NFL players ever? That cannot
be
questioned with R. Moss.
You're exactly right. Were you the best at your position over a period of time? Were you the best? Do you have any jewelry? Were you an NFL MVP? Were you a game changer like Mr. Terrell?
Not even remotely the same argument. Not even remotely. We're talking about like the third and fifth best receivers in the history of the game. Terrell Davis is not even close to that. 55th. Look, he got his jacket, so I'm not going to argue his point no more. He got his jacket. I know you're trying to get under my skin right now, and it is itching right now. It is itching. Okay, R. Moss and Terrell Davis at their respective positions, not close. Not close.
I agree with you, man. Well, thanks for participating this year. It's been another exciting season, man. We got a full list of things to talk about yet. What's going on in the off season? What's the draft preview look like? Who's on your fantasy watch list? So we're gonna have a draft preview show, in April, a week before the draft. So look for us then. Cleveland, enjoy the snow up there. Be safe, and we'll talk to you in the very near future, my man.
Right on, bro. Been a great season. It was a very dramatic ending, and wow, that's why we watch, right?
Yeah, that's why they play the game. That's why we enjoy the game, just to see the unexpected. And things always happen that you don't quite expect. That's why we watch the games. 93 teams have had the lead and not relinquished it in Sunday night.
Yeah.
Enjoy, man. 93
teams have been out. Yeah.
Soon. Later.
Right on, bro. Let's talk soon.
Later.